You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, hour number two here. I told you, great interview with Corey Coleman earlier today. Here it is.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, very happy to be joined in the Dog Bowl by Browns first-round pick wide receiver Corey Coleman. Corey, welcome to the show.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
We're certainly happy to have you. And, you know, here you are in the middle of mini camp. And I know it probably seems like not that long ago you didn't know where you were going to be drafted. Then you come to the Browns, rookie mini camp, now the mandatory mini camp. What's different about you and how do you feel so far?
I feel really great. Starting to get everything down, starting to adapt to all the situations. And it's just, you know, just a blessing being here and just working really hard.
What's kind of the difference for you now at minicamp compared to rookie minicamp?
Rookie minicamp, you're really just thrown in the fire. You don't know what to expect. So now regular minicamp, I knew what to expect. I knew what plays were running. So I kind of had the upper hand, and it feels good. Everything is going great right now.
Talk about Al Saunders. What's it like working with a legend in the coaching profession like Al?
Man, he's a great dude. Like I said before, he's really smart. So every time we all try to pick his brain because he's been around a lot of great receivers and he's making us a lot better.
Has he caught you yet?
I'm not going to say all that.
I know he tries to chase people down on every play.
He's fast, though.
He's surprisingly fast. He said something last week that stood out to me with you. You caught a ball on the sideline. You went out of bounds. He said, Corey, in 120 years, that's never missed a tackle. And then the next time you got the ball, you stayed in bounds, and he chased you down. You're making yourself better. You're making your teammates better. Is it cool to have somebody that is that hands-on with you as you make the transition from college to the NFL?
It really is. It's great. He's always pushing us to be, you know, our very best. Average is not good enough, so we're working for greatness in the receiver core. So every time we make a mistake, he's going to tell us about it. He's going to help us get better. He's going to teach us. And
there he is right there, as he is right there,
there
making catches. The great Al Saunders. That's one of the cool things about doing here. He's going to be great, he said, and he does not throw around praise lightly. He's worked with some of the very best receivers in the National Football League. Corey, you seems like when you go out there to practice, you're making plays every single day. How much confidence does that give you? Because, you know, one of the things people say, well, Baylor's offense and then an NFL offense. But you seem to be going out there and playing football. That's what you do at the end of the day.
Right, man. So I love this game. I take this game to heart. So I work at my craft. I'm trying to be the very best I can be. So they brought me in here to make plays. So, you know, I don't want to let no one down or I don't want to let myself down. So I pride myself in working hard and, you know, to live up really to why they brought me here.
What are some of the routes or maybe route concepts that are new to you and ones that you really like? Maybe something you didn't run at Baylor, but now it's integrated in the offense here that you think, man, I wish I was running this at Baylor because I'm going to be pretty good at this.
Really, I like the comebacks. We didn't run the comebacks at Baylor. I ran them in high school, but it's been a while. So getting back used to those comeback, the deep ones, I like those a lot. Turning outside, you can really, you know, make great plays on that because you're selling it like you're going straight down the field, like you're running a goal ball, and then you break it off and turn outside. I really like that route a lot.
You had one yesterday working right against another Big 12 product, Justin Gilbert, where you sold him on the deep ball and were able to turn him around and come back for that comebacker for about a 20-yard play. So that's one that you like because your speed is one of your biggest assets, and you're able to use that to get some separation.
Right, definitely.
Yeah, that's good. So as you go through this, talk about what is Coach Jackson like? You know, I'm sure in college you have a very certain style and program. What's the Hugh Jackson program like in your eyes?
He's kind of like, you know, Coach Brown, so I had at Baylor. You know, only thing he expects is greatness. You know, like I said, average is not good enough for him. He's a great leader. He's hands on with his, you know, players. He's not like some big time coach you can't talk to, which I really like that.
Yeah,
it's something I don't know. I can go to him and ask him. He's gonna explain. He's gonna demonstrate, show us. And he's just a great dude. And I like him a lot.
Do you like the fact that when you catch a ball on the 20-yard line, you have to run 80 yards to score after every play? I mean, and you guys seem to be having fun with it. The defense comes down. Guys are blocking downfield for it. It seems to be kind of a fun thing.
Right. We're all getting in the groove. You know, we're trying to be the best our team can be. And by us doing it and taking the extra step, it's just going to make us better. And, you know, with me, it helps conditioning with everyone.
Sure. You heard yesterday, I don't know if you've heard, but in his post-practice press conference, he was talking about training camp, said there are going to be a lot of padded practice sessions and we're going to get after it because the only way to get better playing football is to play football, and that's played with pads on. Do you like getting the pads on and showing your physicality? Because when you watch your college tape, you can be a little bit nasty. I'm going to say it. You can be a little bit nasty out there,
Corey. Right, I do. I'm excited to get the pads on. You know, like you said, we came here to play football, so let's play.
Who's somebody that you modeled your game after?
I really like Antonio Brown and Steve Smith. Those guys are unbelievable football players, and, you know, I model my game after those two.
Yeah, Steve Smith, you can see some of that, especially when you jump and go over people, as you did many times at Baylor for those touchdowns. Do you like to talk a little smack out on the field?
I do. I like to have fun. You know, a lot of people don't get blessed to play this game very long, so you might as well have fun while you're doing it.
Absolutely. What's the most exciting thing for you on the football field? Is it scoring a touchdown, or does it have to be, you know, just catching a bomb or physically dominating somebody? What gets you fired up on the field?
Really winning. I like to win.
Good.
It doesn't matter in any situation. It can be me in this corner, we're going against each other, and the ball is thrown, and I won that rep. So if I can win every rep, you know, it's going to make me a lot better, and it's going to make this team a lot better. So if we can win every down, every rep, that's a big, big key and big factor.
So we had Robert Griffin III in here yesterday, and I noticed in the cafe he was sitting with you, and I think it was Darius Jennings and Hollywood Higgins. And I asked him, you know, is it important for you to sit and kind of build rapport with your wide receivers at lunch? And he's like, yeah, I like to do that, and it just kind of happened. But what was interesting is when he was sitting with you, and I watched you watching the TV, they were talking about you on NFL Network. What was that like? What was going through your mind when you were watching that?
I try not to pay too much attention. I was watching it, though. It's just, you know, it's a lot of projections.
Sure.
What they think I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it. Only person who knows is the man upstairs. And, you know, it kind of gives me motivation when they say that I'm going to do this because I'm always trying to go beyond and above that.
Yeah, and it was, and Robert said the same thing. I said, what was his reaction? He said he didn't have one, and I thought that was a very good thing. And, you know, coming from Baylor and where you were so successful, there's going to be a lot of talk about you, but I think it's good that, you know, you're able to kind of block that out and focus on the task at hand.
Yeah, definitely. What I did at Baylor, it doesn't matter anymore. I'm on to, you know, a new chapter in my life, and, you know, I'm trying to exceed and do better than that.
What do you think of Cleveland so far?
I like it a lot. The city's showing me a lot of love, man. Unbelievable fans. Fan base here is, you know, it's amazing. And I'm happy to be a part of this organization. And so far, it's going great for me.
Yeah. So number 19 you end up choosing. I know you talked with Bernie Kosar, and he shared with us that he told you he just wants to see number 19 in the end zone. What was it like kind of talking to Bernie? And did you know, and it's fair if you didn't, I mean, and played a little time with the Cowboys, but did you know Bernie at all before kind of 19 became the number you chose?
Right. Yes, sir. I did know Bernie. He's did unbelievable here, and I did talk to him to get number 19, and like you said, get an end zone, make him proud. And like I said, I take that to pride because I know how special that number is.
Is it cool for you young guys to see kind of the alumni coming around as they have, and also to know that Jim Brown, arguably the greatest football player of all time, has a role with this team?
Right, it is. I talked to Jim Brown, and I'm so happy and honored I can be around a guy that great and what he has done for this organization. And, you know, he's a wise man.
Yeah, he's been around for a while. He's seen a lot. He's experienced a lot in many, many different respects. Who's somebody that you've bonded with on this team? You got like somebody that's like kind of your crew now, or somebody that you've kind of really become close with?
Really, you know, we're in the hotel right now. Really just the receivers. Me, Rashard Higgins, Ricardo Lewis, we're always doing stuff together. If you see one of us, we're all going to be together. We pretty much do everything together. Last night we went to go eat at a Mexican restaurant. And
nice.
You know, that's what we're always together.
That's cool. Holly, we've had Hollywood in studio. We haven't had Ricardo yet, and Hollywood certainly seems to be a very fun guy to be around, a very lively personality.
Yeah, Rashard, he's funny. We're all together. We're all laughing. We're all just rolling and having a great time. You know, we know what we have to do, and we're just working hard each and every day, and we're motivating each other, too.
When you come in with a class this big, is it kind of like when you go in with your college recruiting class where you guys feel like you can come in and kind of change the program or enhance the program to kind of have that bond with 14 rookies?
Right. That's our mindset. You know, they all brought us in for a reason. Like with the receivers, we're all different type of receivers, but, you know, we can all help in certain different ways. So, you know, our job, the reason why they brought all 14 of us in is to make this team better and give it a spark. And only way we can do that is by working hard and doing what the coaches ask us.
And you mentioned that you hang with Hollywood and, of course, Ricardo Lewis. That's the one guy that I don't think the fans yet have a great feel for. You know, he was the second receiver drafted after you in this class of four receivers. Physically 6'2", fast, big. What's he like as a guy off the field and on the field?
Off the field, like I said, we're all kind of goofy. We're always joking around and just having fun. And on the field, you know, he's determined. If you watch Ricardo in practice, he sits back. He wants to be really good. So he sits back and he watches and he tries to do everything that, you know, the older guys are doing, who's doing stuff right. He watches film when we're at home. He's trying to get better. And, you know, that shows you a lot about a person.
Talk about watching film. Is that something you did a lot of at Baylor?
I didn't do a lot of it at Baylor, but now I'm catching on. I'm seeing the proper way, the vets, and I've been watching film, just doing stuff that I usually haven't, you know, done like a lot of, but it's making me a lot better.
Has there been a time where you've been in practice where something that you saw on film happened and it allowed you to make a play that maybe if you hadn't known that and studied that and been ready for it that you wouldn't have been able to?
Yes, definitely. When I first got in rookie minicamp, I was running my routes. I was cutting them short just because, you know, I was new to them, but I started watching film where I need to be, and it helped me out so much.
Is it kind of wild, like, going from college where you can dominate, and you guys kind of, I wouldn't say a loose system, but it was somewhat loose in that spread system at Baylor, to something where they're talking to you about exactly how they want you to step, how they want you to stand, how they want your shoulders to be, how they want your hips to be when you make your cuts. Like, just the detail for the technique, is that something that you expected, and is that, how do you kind of like refining your skills that way?
It's something I kind of expected, but as you can see, I got the hang of it really quick.
Yeah.
Just, you know, worked at it. Nothing's gonna come easy. First, you know, when we first got here, rookie mini camp, a lot of us was doing stuff that it would be okay in college, but it's not okay in the NFL. But we, you know, coach showed us how to do it, showed us film of how to do it, and we caught on just like that.
Has Andrew Hawkins, who really is the elder statesman, that wide receiver room, has he been a guy that you've kind of talked to a lot and started to get some advice from?
Right. I always talk to Hawk. That's my dude. He's a good guy, and he's one of the vets, all the vets, really. You know, they help us. If we have any questions, we can go to them. And, you know, to have a group of guys like that in one room where it's just like only thing we care about is winning, and you got a special group of guys, and there's no selfishness in there at all.
Do you get pointers from the corners you're going against? Have they been, what's it like going against a guy like Tremont Williams, who's been in the league and gone against the very best receivers in the National Football League for a long, long time? Is he somebody you've locked up with, and what's that been like?
Right. You know, when I first got there and we first started OTAs, the first person I called out, I want to go against, you know, best corner. Joe's not out there, so I want to go against, you know, a starter. Went against him, you know, we got great work in, and he respected me for that because, you know, rookie coming in usually don't do that, but I didn't want to, like, no disrespect. I just want to get better, and I know
yeah.
The only way he's going to make me better by going against the best. And every time I line up against him, I'm trying to win, and he's trying to win too, so we're always pushing each other and, you know, making each other better.
Has he given you any advice from the other side, or he does not want to share those secrets with
yet? He does. If anything I need, I ask him. Well, to make me better, he's going to tell me.
That's great.
He knows a lot.
He does know a lot.
He knows a lot.
That's when you battle against Calvin Johnson for a very long time and some of the other guys. You know, Percy Harvin was there, who was a guy that not maybe as big, but unbelievable speed. And going against Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson in practice every day, he's seen some pretty darn good wide receivers in his time. And last year here, Antonio Brown, A.J. Green, especially with Joe out, he was playing number one role for us. Steve Smith, your guy. So they had some good battles there. It's nice to kind of have those. It kind of is an interesting mix on this team because it is very young, but there are definitely some elder statesmen, especially on the defense with a guy like Paul Kruger, who's won a Super Bowl, a guy like Tremont, who's won a Super Bowl. And that must be nice for you young guys to know that there are guys who have been around, and especially on your side of the ball, you know, you got Joe Thomas, Hall of Famer for sure, and then Josh McCown. What's your relationship been like with Josh McCown, who seems to be one of the best guys to ever put on a Browns uniform?
Yeah, Josh is a great guy. I can go to him, or he'll come to me and, you know, tell me, little things. Like, one day I had a bad practice. I thought I had a bad practice. And he just told me, you know, keep your head up. And he always gives me advice. And I can go to him for anything. He's going to tell me exactly. He's real patient. He's like a coach out there. And he knows everything, too.
Yeah. What's your bond been like with Robert Griffin III? Coming from Baylor, and I know you guys didn't play together at Baylor, but I know you have that connection. And he's been a guy who came in with big expectations, number two overall pick. What's kind of that relationship been like?
It's great because we come from the same program, Baylor, and, you know, we know what we got to do. We expect a lot out of each other. We hold each other accountable, and that's the great thing about us. When I was at high school, I was coming up to Baylor on recruiting trips and stuff like that, and I see RG3. You know, he's real smart. He's a great athlete, great quarterback, and, you know, he's so relaxed and comfortable back there. He knows what he has, and it's a great feeling working with him.
It certainly must be a lot of fun, too, and I've seen you guys hook up for a couple of those bombs. Throws a very nice deep ball, which is good for you.
Right. You know, it brings back old Baylor day.
Just run out there and go get it, Corey. Well, listen, we certainly appreciate the time. Last question is, what do you hope to accomplish here with your final two mini camp practice before you go off in the summer? And I know you said yesterday, so we won't harp on it, go do some more work, which is, let me tell you something, Browns fans are very happy to hear that the top pick wants to work in his time off. But what do you hope to accomplish here in these final 2 days of mini camp?
Really just getting better each and every day. I think I'm taking a step each and every day and just, you know, getting better. That's what I want to focus on. One day at a time, each day, can I be better than the day I was before?
What do you think something that you have improved on since you first stepped foot on the field?
My whole game. My whole game, I think so. I'm getting comfortable. I'm starting to run my routes super fast, know exactly where to be at the same time. At first, it's kind of iffy, not running super fast like I know I could because I'm thinking too much. But now I'm starting to get the hang of it.
All right. Well, it's certainly fun to watch, and I know everybody is excited to see you making those big plays. Corey, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy the final 2 days of minicamp. Enjoy your time off and, of course, the work you'll be putting in out there with the quarterbacks. But enjoy that, and we look forward to seeing you back here for training camp when the pads come on and real football starts to be played.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
All right. That's the Browns' first-round pick wide receiver, Corey Coleman, with us here in the Dog Bowl. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily right after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD's The Girl Wilhelm. Loved what I heard from Corey Coleman there, another one of these rookies who is humble, wants to work, and wants to get better, and wants to be great. And I think that the Browns, it's timed out well in the sense that you have a new vision and a new direction for your organization, and you can coincide that with bringing in 14 rookies at the same time who don't know any different from the NFL. This is all they know in the National Football League.
It really is, and that's why, you know, so many people immediately think first-year head coach, very young football team, not going to be a lot of success. But I think when you take into account who these individuals are and how much headway they've been able to make in a short period of time, what Hugh Jackson has done to first and foremost change the mindset of these individuals. That's before even stepping foot on grass or even going into the meeting rooms, but changing the mindset of how these guys approach being professional football players at this level. That's the accountability, that's being the timeliness, that's the physicality, that's, you know, the workouts, and so on and so forth. And then when you get into, and this kind of, again, I'm going to be redundant with this because it's my belief, is you bring in the scheme of Hugh Jackson and what he does, you bring in the scheme of Ray Horton and what it is and what it represents, and then you interject these players with the new mentality, with all their skill sets. And right now, I think the body of work that you give each individual is going to be specific to that individual. And it goes back to my talk about the wide receiver position. You don't ask Corey Coleman to do something that he's not comfortable doing yet. Or Terrell Pryor, maybe only Andrew Hawkins, who's probably run the full gamut of routes in the NFL on a consistent basis in the games. So you play. We need to continue to stay competitive in year one as we continue to develop A, as an organization, B, as a team, C, as units, offense and defenses. Play to your strength. Let's do what we do best and then expound on what we do once these players are able to learn, we're able to add more bullets to this, what hopes to become a very large gun here in Cleveland.
Certainly that is the hope. Let's bring in our producer, Matt Fontana. Now he's got some tweets for us. What's up, Matt?
What's up, guys? So this one is from, I just had the name, but I remember the question. How do you think Xavier Cooper is going to fit into Ray Horton's defense?
I think it'll be good. And the reason why I say that is I know there's going to be time spent in that base 3-4 defense, which is what I love. And the longer you can stay in that situation, the more confusion you can create, which we heard from Ray Horton, you know, a few weeks back. But where it's actually going to come into play from an athletic standpoint, a get-off standpoint, and an explosion standpoint is when we do get into sub, we're not just straight rushing up the field. What I've been a part of when we get into sub is you get those guys moving around. The same confusion you try to bring in base 3-4 defense with two outside linebackers, two inside guys, and that three-man front, you can create in a four-man front with different stunts. Yep. And that's where I think is going to play into a guy like Xavier Cooper's strength. You know, that quick first step, his ability to penetrate with a guy looping off of his, you know, off of his butt, you know, with some type of X game or so on and so forth. That's really where I think Xavier Cooper is going to excel in his second year.
Yeah, I think he's going to get in some sub-package roles where he can come in and rush the quarterback, as you said, take advantage of the movement up front. And I think he's going to be successful in this defense. I think everybody's going to be more successful in this defense. I think it's just a better defense.
That was from Stacy, by the way. Sorry, I had to look up the name. Brian on Twitter again. You can tweet at Browns_daily. Use that hashtag AskCBD. And Brian's asking, he's saying, it looks like Crow and Duke are looking real good. How about that big back that Hugh brought over, I believe, from the Ravens, Raheem Mozart? How's he looking?
Terrell Watson is the one who came from the Bengals. Mozart was the guy that they brought in late last year, I believe from Philly, who returned kicks and did a good job there. And it's funny that you mentioned him. I would say that Watson has looked good. Raheem Mozart has had some big runs already in practice and has looked very good and gotten a lot of praise from Kirby Wilson as well. So I think there is going to be an interesting kind of depth battle at running back between those two, and maybe somebody else could surprise. I do think, however, you know, there's the Crow and the Duke, and then there's everybody else, and they're competing. But Mozart, what he can do as a kick returner shouldn't be discounted for his opportunity and his ability to maybe make this team, because last year he was very, very effective there.
Yeah, but then you go back to what What role, when it really comes to crunch time, will Justin Gilbert truly have on the defensive side of the ball? You want to get your value out of him. He could be the next man in line behind Hayden and Williams, while also being, you know, the kick returner, potentially punt returner. You just talked to a guy who's probably going to be our starting punt returner in Corey Coleman. You know, what role is he going to have? So if your players that are shoo-ins, essentially, if they do what they're supposed to do in training camp to make this football team, guys like him have to be exceptional at what they do in that small window they have from a returning standpoint.
Yeah, you're right. If you're going to make team and you're not contributing somewhere else, you've got to be beyond exceptional. And I think this is going to be a group where they're looking for guys who can contribute all over the place for the Cleveland Browns. You got any more, Matt?
Yeah, this one's from Kyle. I'm going to modify his question because he wanted to know what players or Browns players might be going to the Cavs game tonight, but we're not really sure. So I'll modify it too. Who do you think the biggest Cavs fans are on the Browns team?
Oh, Joe Hayden is a number one.
Yep.
Beyond that, whoever probably Joe Hayden's best friends with on the football team, which I don't know how many of those guys are left because I know, you know, he's close with Witt and Gip and those guys on the back end. But I would say Joe Hayden's a number one in my mind because he represents the CLE every opportunity he has.
Oh, yeah. He's all in. He's already tweeting that he's going to the game, and he's all in and looking for the Cavs to try to get back into this series. And they're going to have to do it without Kevin Love. He's been ruled out with the concussion suffered in game two at the elbow of Harrison Barnes. When we come back, Big Play Gear, not participating in minicamp, had hernia surgery, but will be ready for training camp and ready to keep making big plays. We'll hear from him. First time he's spoken since undergoing the knife to get ready for the 2016 season.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Let's go now to the podium and hear from Big Play Gear Pro Bowl tight end Gary Barnage.
Getting better every day. Obviously, it's only been like a week, but it's getting better every day. I'm walking good, so it's going good. I'll be ready. I think it's more of just over time. It's just wear and tear over time. It's a sports hernia type thing. Other hernia is more like lifting style. You get it from lifting and stuff like that.
Were you hoping to kind of make it without having to have surgery? And then what made you decide to go ahead?
I think it was just the opportunity to get it all done and why I won't miss any time. I think that was the purpose of it, so we would get all this done and then I would be ready to go for training camp and it wouldn't pop up during the season or anything.
Or when it happened, or is it just something?
It's just wear and tear. It's just something that happens, wear and tear over time. It's not anything that you can like prevent, really. It's just something that's gonna, it can happen over time. Some people get it, some people don't.
Do you think you'll be able to be back by the start of training camp?
I'll probably be ready before training camp. My goal is to be ready as quick as possible, obviously. So I'm gonna be working at it every day. I'm out here every day doing stuff. I'll be here during the summer doing stuff as well, so I'll be back quick as I can.
What impact do you think any of this, a little bit of this time? I mean, you've been around for so long, you're there. I wouldn't guess that you would think that any of this time off will.
No, because I'm still in the meeting rooms. I'm still doing all that stuff. I'm still helping all the younger guys at my position and still working with everybody, so I'm not really missing anything. I'm still getting all the mental aspects of it. I'm just not doing the physical aspect right now.
In terms of the possibility Griffin's going to be the starting quarterback, how do you mentally prepare to be playing with the new quarterback?
I think it's been good. We had a lot of work together during OTAs when I was going, and then during the all-season program we've been working together. So I think we have good chemistry with all the quarterbacks.
When you look out there and you're watching some practice, obviously some other guys are getting an opportunity to get more reps now with you out. Who are you seeing at your position that you're kind of excited about?
I think they're all doing a good job. I don't think there's one. I think as a whole, our whole position group's doing great. They're all learning. They're all young guys. And they're all taking everything with stride. And they're coming along. It's going to be a lot of fun seeing how we all coexist together in training camp. He's only been out there a little bit, and he's doing a good job. He's learning it, obviously, and it's everything's new. But that's the same for everybody. Everybody's new offense for him, and everybody's doing a good job with it.
Yeah, you expect to be the tight end position to be as involved in this offense as it was last year?
I think every position is going to be really featured because he's going to make it where every defense is going to have to focus on every position. You can't focus on, oh, we're just going to shut down the tight end or we're just going to shut down receiver, because then everybody else is going to open up. And I think that's going to be dictated per week.
And you look at Tyler Eifert last year. I mean, that's got to make it pretty happy, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, of course. He does like the tight ends, obviously. He used them before, and I think we're looking forward to it this year as well.
What's the biggest thing that jumps out to you about Hughes' system?
The system? I would say he wants to put the ball in playmakers' hands. Doesn't matter who you are, he puts you anywhere on the field, and that's a good thing. Like the defense is going to have a lot to be planning for, because you never know what's going to happen.
Is that tough for you guys? I mean, I know it's still early, but will that be tough for you guys to learn and kind of master, because he's got so many moving pieces?
I don't think so. I think we've done a good job throughout the off-season program learning it. I think we're all coming along and we're doing a good job. I think we're just fine-tuning it right now, and we'll fine-tune it some more during training camp, and it'll all come together.
He was telling us yesterday that he's going to run a different camp than you guys are used to, with a lot of pads and everything, anything goes, period, with sirens and things like that. What's your take on that kind of a training camp?
Oh, I've had it before. I've had it in college with Bobby Petrino. I know all about having a tough training camp, which is good. It just builds character and gets the guys going, and I think everybody's excited about it. I think that's one thing we're really looking forward to seeing when fans and everybody comes out and sees how our practices are going to be. They're really going to be surprised how energetic everybody is and how much fun it's going to be for everybody.
What do you make of the sirens and that anything goes period?
Oh, I think it would be great. I think that's the only way you're going to learn in football. You got to do football type of stuff or you're not going to get better at it.
Gary had a breakout year last year. What can you do this year? What are you seeking to do?
Just do anything I can to help the team, because it's not really about one person. It's just trying to get wins, because that's what we're all about. It's about helping the team, and anything I can do to help get other guys open or get open spring the run game, all that's all I can do.
Along the lines of you approached Haslam before you signed your contract, have you been in touch with him lately in terms of kind of feeling him out, seeing where his mindset is as this new regime takes hold?
I've seen him when he's come out to the field and stuff. I haven't went and just met him personally, and he's excited about it. And I think he shows it every time he comes out there. He's excited about seeing everything that's going on, and he's very excited and looking forward to it as well.
Gary, what are you getting from some of the veterans that have come back to camp to speak to you guys?
It's awesome. It's just showing how much you got to love this game, because they love this game and how much everybody needs to respect it and how much it doesn't last forever. And you got to take a true advantage of your opportunities, because you never know how long that's going to be. And I think that's one thing they're really trying to instill in us, and then just keep focusing on what we want to do in this organization.
Is there a particular person that had a message that kind of reached you?
I think they've all done a great job. I don't think there's been one. I think all of them have gave different aspects they've talked about, and they've all done great with it.
Danny Shelton said yesterday that you got the defensive guys together for, like, paintballing and go-karts and stuff, and he mentioned you as kind of inspiring to do that because you like to have, you know, events like that with the team. Why do you think that stuff's valuable, and is it kind of cool that a younger guy's picking up on?
I just think it's something that I don't see a lot of guys doing. I know a lot of teams set up stuff for their teams to go do stuff, but I haven't seen a lot of guys do it, and I wanted to do something where we have a bunch of new guys here. So I want to get guys, hey, let's go out, let's go do something together, bond. I always work with the offense. I'm always with the offensive guys. I don't do much with the defensive guys, so I want to get the defensive guys involved. I want us working together, having fun, and enjoying each other, because we're a team. We've got to be a team first, and the only way you're going to be a real team is actually knowing the other guys that are on your team, and that's part of it, and that's what I want us to do. So I've done a lot of that kind of stuff, and it's just fun. It's just giving back and going to enjoy our time with each other.
Do you think guys welcome that?
I think they do. I haven't heard anything negative about it. They enjoy it.
So I must have missed it. What did you do then with the off? I mean, I know you did the movie stuff, but is that what you're talking about?
Oh, we did. I take some of the guys off to the movies. We did paintballing. Took them all some paintballing. Then we all went to Cedar Point. Took a couple guys to Cedar Point. We did a little Cedar Point. Did some of the roller coasters and stuff. Just different things. Just trying to do something different. We'll do bowling at some point probably. Just mixing it all up.
Right, a new roller coaster?
I did. It's good. It's good. Not there in Millennium Forest, but it's good. EJ Bibb's terrified. Terrified of roller coasters.
Did you get them all?
Yeah, he did it all. I give him credit. He did every one of them. Now he cries and complains about it, but he does them.
I just tweeted out a link that the Browns sent out of the video of EJ Bibb's going on the roller coasters with Gary Barnage, and it's hilarious. Not a fan of the roller coasters. We saw it
on Sunday.
Inside the Cleveland Browns, yes. But certainly funny. And, you know, you have veterans. We've heard Danny Shelton, whose second year organized, like, I think, paintball and go-karting, and Gary Barnage organizes these things. How important is that for camaraderie? And what was the coolest kind of player-organized fun activity you did in your playing career?
You know what, to be very honest, we didn't have a lot of player-organized stuff like that. You know, and I talked about it a few weeks ago, is – you know, the celebrity golf outings where, you know, LaDainian or Drew Brees would have their, like, foundation golf outings. Those were always really cool, where you could not only be out with your, you know, laugh at my swing, I'll laugh at yours, but, you know, get the, you know, the vibe from the community about how they feel about your team or the upcoming season. The one thing that was really cool, and it was, you know, because of the winning, because of our efforts, was, and this was not, you know, player driven, it was team driven, is we did in the middle of training camp skip a morning practice because we were doing real two-a-days at that point, and we spent the morning at a water park as a team.
I love water slides. I'm a water slide aficionado. I could go to water parks all day long.
It was Norvell was the head coach, and there was a running joke that, like, every time we had a team meeting, you know, after, like, the first couple of days, it was like Nick Hardwick or somebody was water park, and it would grow into this, like, chant, you know. And Norv's like he comes in with his, like, motivating notes on a note card, you know what I mean? So it's like He's just, you know, he put it like, come on now. It's like at an award ceremony when people just keep clapping. It like gets super awkward after a while that, you know, and we just kept getting louder. And he's like, all right. So then one day we came in and he's like, you know, I got some good news. I got some bad news. You know, bad news. We go bad news first. Bad news, you know, is that, you know, this afternoon's practice might be the most physical practice we have all training camp. Okay. The good news is, go back to the locker room, get your shorts and t-shirts, because we're going to the water park right now. And like, you like, it was, yeah, it was amazing. I mean, the place erupted. We were like eyes bugged out of our head, like, you know, kids in a candy store. And we legit were out of there on buses, already parked outside the facility. It already been, they shut down a water park for us from like,
I was gonna say,
9 to 1 o'clock.
If they have you guys coming in there, it would probably be like, you'd be throwing kids out of the line, off the ladders. Sure. Yeah. Like,
but it was the best. You could ride everything 20 times.
I love a good water park.
But the great, the funniest thing to me though was how many grown men can't swim.
Yeah, it's kind of an essential skill.
It isn't. You would think so. I know that, you know, my wife and I spend a lot of money on swim lessons. You know,
the world's like
every year
mostly
to
water.
Just keep our kids, you know, able to swim and survive. And that I've never seen more scared grown men in my life. Than grown men, so grown there, football players around water.
Were there a lot of people who wouldn't go down the water slides?
Yes, that, or their ability to cling to an inner tube for dear life in the wave pool.
Like it was dear, they literally were clinging to it for dear life.
And it was comedic to me. So like I would come over and dunk guys to see the panic in their face. Like I could come lift you up and put your head above water, bro, if you were really
stand
drowning.
Up.
Whatever.
Yeah, just
you know
up.
That I had that funny story, and I know we got to grab a break. But Michael Turner, the burner Turner,
yeah,
one of the funniest ever. We were running super hot the year we went 14-2.
Uh-huh.
We'd run like 8 or 9, you know, games in a row, and it all started with Philip Rivers like started cannonballing into the cold tub, right? And so then everybody entering the cold tub to stay keep the tradition alive. While we're on this win streak, would cannonball into the cold tub after practice. So Michael Turner, and again, couldn't swim, cannonballs into 4 feet of cold water, and you would have thought he was in the Atlantic Ocean, like with a like in the black hole, like stand up, like he's grabbing for the walls, which are no more than 6 inches away, and like. I was like, dude, just put your feet on the ground. But it was the funniest things ever. It's like
he almost drowned in a cold tub.
Is the panic of a grown professional athlete. In water.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Unbelievable.
It's great.
Newfound respect for synchronized swimmers, I'm sure. And what sure. they could do. Yes. All right, we'll be back with our final thoughts here, wrapping up this CBD. The Browns about to take the field in 15 minutes for minicamp practice number 2 here in Berea.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Obviously, show's flown by. If you missed it, Hugh Jackson, Corey Coleman, Gary Barnage on the show. Download that at the Browns mobile app or on clevelandbrowns.com later today to hear that. Matt, you have day 2 here of the mini camp. This probably is the day where you're maybe going to put the most work in. It was the first day getting reacclimated. Today's going to be a day they expect to be firing on all cylinders.
It definitely is. As you said, reacclimated was yesterday. You know, tapering down will be tomorrow. Would not be surprised if they do some move the field scenarios today, meaning like some real live, you know, make it feel like football. 2-minute drill, 4-minute offense, so on and so forth. And if Hugh Jackson doesn't keep them a little bit longer on the field, if it's 2 hours predominantly, if it's 2:15, 2:20, knowing that tomorrow might be 1:30, 1:45, helping these guys get out of town.
So if you're a player today, what do you want to do out there? What are your goals to accomplish when you take the field?
I think it's just do your job. you know, what is what you're specifically being asked to do. Do it fast, do it physical, and be attentive to what these coaches are asking of you. And I think at this point right now, ask any of those questions that you have. If there's any type of uncertainty, ask it on the field so that it can be defined, so that you will go away with the information that you feel like you need to come back ready to go. Because there's not going to be a lot of dialogue between player and coach between now and then. Knowing Hugh Jackson, there'll probably be more than there has been in a very long time, but it's going to be few and far between. So their opportunity to ask those questions, to understand and be thorough, so that when they do review it, they don't need to text the coach. They don't need to call another teammate. They understand it and can continue to get better, just as, you know, kids will be working on math to go back to school for next year, that next grade. These guys have to come back and be ready to perform at a certain level, and that level is to the expectation of their head coach, which is now higher than it's ever been before.
It is a very, very high standard indeed. All right, obviously it is Cavs-Warriors game 3 tonight. Matt Wilhelm, what are you thinking?
For whatever reason, I still am kind of like, my personality in regards to the Cavs takes on the personality of the Cavs and the way they played in the first two games. It's kind of like just going through the motions. You know, life's happening fast, as, you know, my son and daughter had their last day of school today. Haven't put a lot of thought into it. I'll reverberate what LeBron said and what pretty much everyone else in the world has said in regards to this series. You have to win this game tonight. And I think if not, you might have the smell of champagne in your locker rooms for another year by the same team that did it last year and told you about it. Ugh. If that doesn't make you angry and make you want to play a certain way, I don't know what does. So I have the Cavs winning, because I think if you get this one, it makes Friday that much easier to get another one. And just as the Raptors probably felt after coming home and getting two games from the Cavs, you know, it put doubt in our minds. It has to put the doubt in the Warriors' minds to go back to the West Coast.
Yes, they need to find a way to get this one done. One thing that I hate as well, by the way, people are making a big deal of a story that LeBron's wearing the number 6 jersey at practice. He's been doing that at least since 2015. Isn't that correct, Fontana?
I know all of this year. Yeah, I know all of this year.
They're acting like he's doing this as a sign that he's like,
oh, no. That's always been his practice number. Or at least, again, like I said, for this season, that's been his practice number.
So according to Mark Stein, by the way, ESPN sideline, Kevin Love is, quote, really frustrated by the Cavs' insistence that he sits out tonight's game 3, according to one source close to the situation. I don't know. I can't say that I know well enough how it works in the NBA, but I imagine that's not a team decision, is it?
No, I'm sure that with the emphasis on head injuries, head trauma, there is a protocol.
Anyway, it's a must win. I'll be down there. I'll be at Barrio beforehand if you want to come say hello.
Jalapeno Margarita.
Oh, yes. And then we'll get in there and get ready for the Cavs and the Warriors game 3 of the NBA
Finals. What's Taco
Finals.
Of the Month?
I don't know, because it's into June now.
Oh, you're right.
I haven't been there yet.
Ooh, surprise.
Yeah, extra prize. Something to look forward to. All right, that'll do it for us. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys here as they get ready for the Cavs and the Warriors. Thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.